We have to end early this morning, as I mentioned, at breakfast, so that whatever has to happen, happens. But in the few minutes that we have, I wonder if we could just consider together this morning again another aspect of how we know that we really know Him. We talked about it the last couple of days. Everybody and their brothers say that they know the Lord. Oh, I know the Lord. Sure, I know the Lord. She knew the Lord too when she was doing this and giving her whatever confessions she was given. She knew the Lord, but she didn't know the Lord, she says. And sometimes we profess that we do, but we don't. And we can get good at that. We can get really good at talking ourselves into what we are. Oh, yeah, I know Him. Sure, I know Him. I go to church. You know, everybody goes to church. We know the Lord. We're Christian. I got a dollar in my pocket. You know what it says? In God we trust. I'm a Christian. See that? And we got all our backwards ideas as to why it is that we know Him. We got a bumper sticker on our car. We wear a button on our lapel. All kinds of ideas. We got a fish swimming around in a whatever it might be hanging from the dashboard of our car. We're Christian. We know the Lord. And that doesn't do it. And the Bible says it doesn't. We read some things or talked about some things in the gospel, in the epistle of 1 John, where John says, you know, if you say this but you don't do this, you're a liar. And you're deceiving yourself. The truth isn't in you. But how do we know then? How do we really know? I mean, could it possibly be that, and I'm not trying to talk anybody out of your Christianity, and I'm not trying to tell anybody that you don't know Jesus. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that even if you do know Him, you got to know Him, or you can know Him better. And we started out by saying that when we know Him, one of the evidences of it is what Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. There's a strengthening of might by His Spirit in our inner man. And so we face losing heart situations, discouragements. That's what he says before he prays. But even though we're facing those things, we don't go down like everybody else goes down, even like all the Christians around us go down. No, the real saints of God are the ones that sing when the day is bright and sing in the darkest night. They're the ones that get beat up, put in prison, in stocks and bonds, and they're praising the Lord like Paul and Silas. They're the ones that know their God. And when we know Him, He's able to, in spite of the circumstances, because of a strengthening that takes place on the inside, cause us to rise above. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to that power that's at work in us, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Then we talked about knowing the Lord produces fruit in our lives. By a definition, almost. If we're united to Him because we know Him, and that word know in the Bible is that word of intimacy. It's not I know about Him or I've heard that, but to know is to really have a vital connection and a link. And when you are linked to the vine, you're going to bring forth fruit, we read in John 15 yesterday. And it's His desire that we bring forth fruit and bear fruit and much fruit and more fruit and that our fruit would remain. And we said that that's a fruit of repentance. You can't just say, I have Abraham to my father, like the Jews did. Or, you know, we've been brought up in this stuff. Of course I know this. I know the Lord. I know this. I know that book. I know. Well, you can't just say that. You have to then do what Abraham did. You have to believe God like Abraham believed God. If you have Abraham to your father and Jesus there, when they said that to Jesus, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. Don't talk about Abraham your father. You're doing the works of the devil. You're not living for the Lord. You're not doing what Abraham did. You don't believe God like Abraham believed God. You're of your father the devil. He's been alive from the beginning, I guess, implying so are you. And it's by your fruit. And fruit's visible. It's evidence. Whatever tree you're grafted into or you're of, that's what you will produce after its kind. And if we are, by virtue of union with Jesus Christ, linked to Him, we're going to begin to bring forth the virtues of Christ, love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And we can look at our lives and we can say, well, I do know Him. I see that I do know Him because I recognize there is an infusion of strength. There is a life-giving stream that flows. And I've tapped into that, and I understand that. And we look at our lives and we can say, okay, there is some fruit growing. Thank God. Thank God He's changed me. And yeah, I'm more patient than I once was. And there's a difference here, and a long-suffering, and a gentleness, and I have more of a compassion. And yeah, there's a change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. But in both those instances and cases, I think every one of us, I hope, every one of us would get around to also saying, I could know Him better.
Yes.
I understand that life, but there's a fullness there that I haven't yet tapped into. Oh, I can see the fruitful field is growing, blessed fruit of righteousness, but it could be better. I could yield more fruit. I could be more like Jesus. And so the design is, it's not just what I say. That doesn't make me to know Him. It's how I live and what the Bible indicates to me and how the Bible says people who know the Lord live, act, and are. And if I can see that in my life and I can see that in your life and we can notice that Christ is working in us. He's helping us, but He's not finished yet. He's still working in us. And you never get out of one mode and get to the next one. We get the infusion of His life and then we get the fruit growing and then we move on to this. This is all happening all together, all at once, and there's always just more. And that's why it is exciting to be a Christian.
Amen.
It is exciting to know Him because you can look forward to change. You can look forward to Christ-likeness. You can look forward to a meaning and a purpose in life. And that's what I'd like to say this morning, at least in the next 10 minutes. I'd like to say that when you know the Lord, you know that you know the Lord because you're not meandering through life. You have a purpose in life. People today, many people, and even unfortunately many Christian people, they don't have a purpose. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're here. They're just kind of getting through. I'm going to, graduate from school, and then what are you going to do? I don't know, something. Where are you going? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I want to be, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. I got no aim, no purpose, no motivation. It's kind of like a decaffeinated life. I'm sorry if you drink decaffeinated coffee, and that's what you live on, and some people do that for all kinds of different reasons, but blah. No sense in drinking the stuff if it doesn't have the zunts in it, the caffeine. It's like my neighbor. My neighbor, not my neighbor now, but my neighbor when I was a boy growing up, the Francellas. You don't know them. I can mention their name publicly. I'll never get back to them because they're long gone. But they were an older couple, and they had a middle-aged daughter, and every Sunday afternoon they'd go out for a Sunday drive. They had no destination. They would just go in their car, and then they would go. Where are they going? I don't know where we're going. We're just going. And they got to the corner, and they had to turn left or right. And I don't know what made them turn right or left, but they just turned whichever way they turned, and they drove, and they went. No purpose, no meaning, no goal, no destination, but we're going. We're spinning our wheels. Who knows where we'll wind up? And when we get tired of driving, we'll come back home, having been nowhere, having done nothing, but at least we spent 2 hours doing nothing. And that's what some people do every single day of their lives. They get up in the morning, be it Sunday or any other day, and they don't know what they're doing, where they're going, no purpose, no goal, no aim, not living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Just here I am existing, hope I get through to the end, and looking forward to the next event, to the next party, to the next dinner, to the next retreat, to the next this, to the next. Every day for a Christian has purpose. Every day for a child of God has meaning. And not just in a spiritual sense, but in every sense of the word. Gaithers wrote the little song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And at the end of that chorus it says, "And life is worth the living just because He lives." And I've tapped into that strength and that life of Christ. And it's really worth living because I know that He lives.
Amen.
And Jesus wants my life,
amen,
this day, not just a generic, the summertime or this period of my life until I retire and then my retirement years until I die or whatever. He wants every single day to be vibrant, to be alive, that you wake up in the morning, be it Blue Monday, Rainy Monday, or any other kind of Monday, and you can say, thank God I'm alive today.
Amen.
Thank God that I have a meaning and a purpose to my life. I might be going to the bank to give out money and exchange the deposit slips or whatever job you might have, but that's not only why I'm there. I'm here for Jesus, and He's going to use me today, and
Amen.
Who knows what He might want to do? Who knows who I might meet and what He might want to say? And it's really, it can be that exciting. It really can. You can face life that way. God, you have a purpose for me. Not purposeless, but purposeful. And if you're here this morning and you have a purposeful life, if you know why you're here in this big old world, what does God want me to do? And you could answer that question that the songwriter posed. And you can say, I know why I'm here, and I know what God wants me to do, and I know that by the grace of God I'm desiring to and attempting to live in His perfect will for my life. Sister Pearl Young came to Ozone Park Church a number of years ago, many years ago. I was still a teenager. And Sister Pearl Young, if you don't know, I think everybody maybe knows of her and has heard her or read her book. You can buy it in the boathouse. She was a missionary to Taiwan. She's gone to be with the Lord. But God used her in a wonderful way. And still today, wherever, if I went to Taiwan to different churches that not affiliated with Zion Church, not affiliated with the work in Taiwan, but people there, they all know Sister Pearl. They all know her name. They all know about her. They all have heard of her and Sister Gerda the same. And they revere her because of her walk with God. She came to our church one time when I was just a boy, and she stood at the pulpit, and she didn't say anything for a long time, which was rather unusual. And every once in a while, I'd kind of look and see if she was still there, and she was. She just stood there. She just stood at the pulpit, And then all of a sudden she said, "You can be satisfied with God's second best for your life, but God is looking for those who want to do His perfect will." And she just stood there for another 2 minutes maybe after saying that, and then went on with whatever it was that she had to say that morning from the Bible. But I've never forgotten those words. You can be satisfied with God's second best, if there is such a thing. You can be satisfied with less than what it was that He's designed and purposed over your life. Or you can desire and want His highest, His perfect will to be done. We're taught to pray that, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." I know especially, but not limited and only to young people, but a lot of young people and probably a lot of you that are here this morning are wondering, you know, what am I doing? What am I going to do? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? What job am I going to wind up with? And what school am I going to go to? And those are questions that a lot of people have, and I think that we make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Because we put purpose, what we want to do, our purpose in life, before we put knowing God. You see, all through the Bible, and beginning in the book of Genesis, actually, and then fleshed out in the lives of people who you read of through the Scriptures, you find that there are those who have found their purpose in life in knowing Him first. That's why you've been created. God is the creator of you. He's made you. Fearfully and wonderfully you've been made. And He formed you, and He created you, and He has a purpose for you. But the first thing that He told to Adam is that I made you and Eve, fashioned you in my likeness, in my image. And we were made to know God. We were made for that purpose. First of all, that's what God wants from all of humanity. He created Adam and Eve for fellowship. And you remember how in the cool of the day God would go down and He would commune in fellowship. He didn't have that capacity. Nobody else in creation, nothing else He created, had the capacity for fellowship with Him. But He created Adam and Eve with souls that they might know God. They might have a capacity for God and have an ability to fellowship with God. And it's in that fellowship with God and knowing God that then God manifests to us and enables us to be led into His purpose for our lives. That's the way it was in the beginning. And after God had fellowship with them and created them for that purpose, and that's why they existed, to find themselves in God. Not displaced from God, not severed from God, but knowing God. And then God gave them purpose. He told Adam, he said, "Now this is what I want from you. You have dominion over the birds, the fish, the this, the that. You give them all names. You call that a hippopotamus, and you call that or whatever you call it, and you give to all these people. That's your job. That's your purpose. That's what I want. You tend here, you eat of every tree, but you don't go to this one. And then, now you got your marching orders for me." But they flow out of and they stem from the knowledge of God, finding your place in Him. And then after all that, he puts divine favor on that. He blesses them. He blessed them. Here's my purpose for you, but your purpose grows out of your knowledge of me. We get that all mixed up. You see, the designer, the creator, always has the prerogative to tell the creation what it's supposed to do. Okay, when I first got married, in our first home in the bedroom, we had a chair, and that chair I would take off my jacket or a shirt or whatever, and I would throw it on the chair, and a number of other things would go on the chair until my wife alerted me to the fact that chair is not my clothes closet or a hanger. That chair has another function or purpose. It wasn't designed or created to hang my clothes on. There are other things to do that. You do that with hangers and coat closets. But you don't do that with chairs. Now, I could use that chair for that purpose. I really could. And it could be used as that in that capacity. But that's not what the designer, I'm pretty sure, that's not what the designer of the chair created that chair to be, a coat hanger or closet. Better yet, how many of you have a treadmill in your house? One day in your life you decided it's time. I need a treadmill. It's a little bit more than I want to be. Or I am a little more out of shape than I thought I would ever get, and I need to capture this thing before it gets too far out of hand. So you ain't got a treadmill. If you do have one of those in your house, I dare say that for some of you, the treadmill now has three plants on it, the drapes are over the rails, or whatever else. You got a treadmill. That is not, I guarantee, that is not what the designer of that treadmill intended for you when you bought that thing. He didn't create it for you to hang your drapes over. He didn't create it for you to use it as a planter. He created it for an entirely different purpose. And the creator should be the one to determine what that thing is good for. My refrigerator can be put in front of the door and nobody could come in. But that's not why the refrigerator was created. You understand my drift. You turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and we'll close after reading this. In Jeremiah chapter 29, a verse that you know perhaps, it is in a mess. This verse is in a messy chapter and it's in a messy book. The people of God were in a mess. They were in exile in Babylon, in captivity. And it was not a good situation. And they had made a mess themselves, and because of that, it's kind of like the locust story from yesterday. It's all over again. And here in chapter 29, and it's in verse 11, the Lord says to them, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Then he goes on and it just fleshes it out a little bit. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you hope and I have plans to give you a future. You know, the designer has plans for you. He really does. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should try to find the purpose for why I am here? Who am I that I should choose my way? The creator, designer, the master creator, designer, has a plan for my life. And it's a good plan. So you might think, oh, if I let him have his way with me and live out his life, who knows what he might do with me? Yeah, I don't know. He might do who knows what with you, but it's going to be good. It's going to be a plan to prosper you. See, Israel went their own way. They decided what they wanted to be. They decided who they wanted to follow. And the Lord tried to capture their attention and say to them, wait a minute, I'm the designer, I got a purpose, I got a plan, but they were none of his ways. That's what the psalmist says. They were none of my ways, and so I had to let them go their way, and they went the wrong way. And my purpose and my design and plan, it wasn't realized in them. But yet, even now, in this messy, terrible situation, the Lord says, I do have a plan for you. And I'm just going to leave it there this morning because we do have to leave, but I'm thankful that He does. And Lord, I want to know Your will and Your ways. I want Your plan. You know, again, it might be lesser than what you were intended to be for by God. You might be a good clothes hanger, but that's not why He created you. You might be a good mechanic, but maybe that's not why He created you. You might be a good preacher, but maybe that's not why He created you. Maybe He wanted you to be a mechanic. Maybe He wanted you to be a school teacher. Maybe He wanted you to be a missionary. Maybe He wanted you to be whatever He wanted you to be, but only what He wants me to be every moment of every day, just to be clay in the potter's hand. Lord, Your purpose, Your plan. And when you find the Creator, and you let Him talk to you and fellowship with you, life becomes rather uncomplicated.
Amen.
It becomes, it is glory just to walk with Him. And there's a little voice that goes off, not because you're crazy. I know sometimes crazy people have those things going off too. But there's a little voice that goes off and says, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. How do you know that you know that you know? I don't know how you know. I can't tell you in words how you know that you know. But you just know. Because there's something inside. There's a divine favor. There's a blessing. Oh, how sweet the will of God is.
Amen.
And may the Lord help us not to try to. Don't try to find your purpose. Don't try to find your purpose. Oh, I'm good at this. I'm good at that. Yeah, okay. God will use what you're good at. But let Him... let Him fulfill His purpose. And the way you find that is to connect with why you were created. I was created for fellowship with You, to know You. And when I know You, I'll find my purpose. And my purpose will have divine blessing and favor. And it'll be a good life. And every single day will be an event.
Amen.
It'll be exciting. It'll be glory just to walk with Him.
Amen.
We thank You, dear Jesus, that You have a good plan.
Yes.
You're the master designer, Lord, and You're good at what You do. And when You created us, it says in the Bible that even before we were formed or while we were being knit together, you had an idea in mind already as to what You wanted from us and through us and by us. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will find that and live in that plan if we haven't. Lord, we pray that we might lay down what we want, what we wish, our ideas, and rather let the designer use us the way that He created us.
Yes.
For Your name's sake, for Your honor. I guess, Lord, what we've been saying is what You taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Here on earth, today, in our lives, at Pilgrim Camp, even as it is being done in heaven.
Yes,
we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.